Amen. Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. Nehemiah, chapter 6. And we move on in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 6 is loaded with all kinds of sermon material. And I don't know how long we'll be in Nehemiah 6. We were in Nehemiah 4 for several weeks and actually a couple of months. And Nehemiah 6 kind of has that potential. There's a lot of good stuff here. Don't want to miss anything and try to cover it. We will look at two verses tonight, Nehemiah 6, verses 1 and 2, with no guarantee that we might not visit one of those verses again. It's just hard to say. Nehemiah 6 and verse 1, how is our sign-up sheet for Brother Kelvin's picture? Anybody sign up for it yet?
Amen.
All right, Brother Chase ordered one. We're not real sure why, but I'll talk to you later. Nehemiah 6 and verse 1, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Now, whenever we come to this passage of Scripture, you need to always say, oh no, because it's trouble. The enemy is out to cause trouble again. So let's try that again, all right? They said, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Oh no, that's right, because that's trouble. That's big trouble. I mean, we're building a wall here. The wall is going up. In fact, it is all built except for the doors being put on the gate, and there's the enemy again. Isn't it amazing? I've entitled the message tonight for this passage, They Thought to Do Me Mischief. They Thought to Do Me Mischief. Father, I pray that you will help us to listen carefully tonight. I pray you'll speak to our hearts and challenge us from thy word. I pray that as we continue to build walls, as we continue to strive to please you and to do your will, that God will recognize the enemy around us and will recognize what their desire is. And I pray that we will defeat that enemy and we will move forward for you. And God, that we'll see victory in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They thought to do me mischief. Well, how do you know that, Nehemiah? I mean, how do you know? Remember, Nehemiah is recording this as a historian, and we realize it's inspired word of God. But Nehemiah, how do you know? How do you know they thought to do you mischief? Come on. I mean, these guys are extending their hands of fellowship. I mean, how do you know? Sanballat, Geshem, I mean, they want to meet in the village in the plain of Ono. Yeah, a little slow on that. But anyway, you know, don't be so judgmental. Nehemiah, don't be so judgmental. I mean, aren't we all supposed to just kind of get along with each other? Aren't we all supposed to just kind of take the philosophy of Barney? I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. I mean, come on, Nehemiah, how do you know? Now, you need to understand, folks, it isn't going to be long. And if we're not careful, the laws in America would put Nehemiah in jail for him saying that. And we're not far from that today. We are not far from Nehemiah's statement being a crime that will be punishable because he said, they thought to do me mischief. Well, how do you know that, Nehemiah? You know, it's kind of like this. On September 11th, when the terrorist attack took place in New York, courtesy of Al-Qaeda, we said they thought to do us mischief. And you know, right at first, everybody believed that. But boy, all of a sudden, I mean, it didn't take very long. And some folks, no, it was just a misunderstanding. Now, I'll tell you what, all you have to do is read their literature and you'll find out they thought to do us mischief. Now, I'm just saying that it isn't going to be long, and what I just said will be against the law. I will be put on the hate crime list. You know, they thought to do us mischief. Well, you don't know that. What's wrong with you? Nehemiah didn't have his head in the sand. Are you listening? Nehemiah was not swayed by media. Nehemiah wasn't interested in being politically correct. He knew the enemy. He knew that the enemy was still every bit as much the enemy as they always were. He knew the enemy. Now, folks, we need to know the enemy. We need to study our Bibles and understand that the devil hates us. His crowd hates us. We talked about this in our study in Abiding in Christ. And as soon as you yoke up with Jesus, I'm telling you, you say to the devil, "I'm your enemy." And he says, "You're my enemy." And I'm telling you, the world, the cosmos, the world system is the enemy of God and God's children. And it's always going to be like that. And Nehemiah knew that it's always going to be like that. And Nehemiah said, "They thought to do me mischief." Well, let's just kind of analyze this here. Number one, let's see what the enemy heard. What the enemy heard. In verse 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies." Again, he's recording this exactly how he sees it. These are our enemies. He said, "When they heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates," they heard something. The enemy heard. The bad guys, those that are out to destroy us, those that were trying to kill us, those that intimidated us, those that had threatened us, Nehemiah said, they heard something. By the way, in chapter 4, they saw their stand, remember? When all the people lined up on the wall and they held their shields and their weapons and they glistened in the sunlight. And the enemy saw that and it caused them to pause instead of attacking. And now these enemy, these bad guys, they heard. And by the way, they not only heard with their ears, they could see the wall with their eyes. And I can imagine this little group getting together, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, with several of the liberal newspapers of that day. And I can imagine them all getting together saying, "That wall's built, there's nothing we can do." Because they heard that the wall had been built. They heard that to them a bad report that the wall's built, but in reality it was a good report. I like that. It's rare for the enemy to hear a good report. Usually they're only listening for bad reports. But the wall being built was such a thrilling thing. The word had passed all over. Hey, the wall is built. And the people are rejoicing. And the enemy heard that. And the enemy, of course, to them that was bad news. They didn't want that wall to be built. But it meant now they had to do something different. No longer could they threaten to attack the city the way they would have attacked it by force because the wall is up. Now they have to do something different. And now the enemy is going to have a different strategy when they heard the good news that the wall had been built. You know, the enemies of Berean Baptist Church, and I understand, you know, we don't like to think. We like to think everybody loves us. We like to think that, you know, the devil's scared of us. We like to think that, you know, there's nobody that could possibly ever be against a bus ministry and soul winning and a Christian school. Oh, I got news for you. There's enemies out there. Right. Satan hates what's going on. And you know those enemies, they're not listening for good news. They're listening for bad news. And the enemy listens for griping. And the enemy listens for criticism. And the enemy listens for rebellion, just doing anything they can to try to bring down that wall. What a blessing when instead of hearing that, they hear unity. Amen. What a blessing when Tobiah and Sanballat and Geshem and they're all listening and trying to pick out a negative in the crowd. What a blessing that they hear rejoicing. What a blessing when they hear the people praising God. Hey, the wall is built. What a blessing when they hear of loyalty. What a blessing when the enemies of Berean, they hear of souls being saved. What a blessing when they hear that 220 some souls were saved in our fair ministry and 80 children trusted Christ at Vacation Bible School. What a blessing when they hear of all the decisions being made and our teenagers standing up and some young men standing up and speaking out for Jesus. And what a blessing. Let the enemy hear that God's working. What a blessing when they hear of the offerings going up and the good spirit that takes place and some young people on fire for God. What a blessing when they hear about ministries like a Spanish ministry starting. What a blessing when the enemy hears that things are okay. Things aren't falling apart. Things aren't going down. Things are going up. God is still on the throne. God is still blessing. God is still working in hearts. What a blessing when they hear that. And let them hear it. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the walls built. They don't want to hear things are happening. They want to hear the negative things. Oh yeah, the enemy heard. They heard that some good things were happening. But you see, the thing is, they listen very, very intently because they're always probing. They're always listening for that one thing that gives them an opening. Okay? You know, we can't attack the wall now, because the wall is now built. We can't have an attack of force. We're going to have to do something different. And I think it's very interesting that Nehemiah adds in verse 1 that there was no breach left therein, parentheses, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. It's very interesting. No doors on the gates. And so the enemy, as they look for and they probe and they do all they can, and Satan, our enemy, is always looking for just one way, just one spot, one weakness, one opening. And sure enough, there it was at the door. Now again, you say, preacher, I know that Nehemiah was guarding that door. Oh, he was. You better believe, without the door on the gate, that gate area, I guarantee it was being watched very carefully. And you know, preacher, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they're not going to get in there very easily. You wouldn't think, would you? You wouldn't even think the enemy would try to get through the door. I can see him trying to sneak around the backside before the wall was built. I can see him trying to climb up the backside where the wall was. But I cannot imagine the enemy actually going to the door. But they heard that the door wasn't up yet. Now you listen, folks. The enemy is constantly probing to find out where you're vulnerable. Constantly probing to find out where Berean Baptist Church is vulnerable. Oh, they're always listening. One, they hear the negative. Thank God when they hear the positive. But they're always, you know, Satan is always trying to find that one negative. Get one person out of whack, and it gets everything out of whack. He's always looking for that one area that is vulnerable. Like here at the door. Now again, at the door, right out in the open. Yeah, yeah. Number one, what the enemy heard. Number two, what the enemy perceived. Please don't miss this. What the enemy perceived. Notice what it says here. It says, here's what they heard. And the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall. It's very interesting Nehemiah records it that way. Again, I don't believe, as we talked about this last week, I don't believe Nehemiah is bragging or anything like that. He is just simply recognizing as a historical fact that he was the leader in the building of the wall. And as we've studied it, without Nehemiah, probably the wall doesn't get built. Somebody had to lead. By the way, somebody has to lead. But the enemy, I believe, perceived that Nehemiah was the leader. And that Nehemiah, as the leader, he was crucial to that wall being built. He's crucial to them keeping that wall. Do you understand? Now the wall is built. They can't stop the building of the wall. So now it would be their idea to just take over the wall and take over the city. But they knew they had to get to the leader. Well, what a good testimony for Nehemiah. Huh? They knew that if they could get to him, they could still defeat these people and their city. But they would try to get to the leader. Let me tell you this. It's always that way. It has always been that way. It always will be that way. You get to the leader, you knock out the leader, you defeat the leader, and most of the time, the people will fall. It just happens very, very many times. It's great testimony for Nehemiah. But again, the people heard the walls built. There's nothing they can do about it. But there is a little opening in the door. There is a little opening there at the gate. And we know who we need to go after. We need to go after the leader. And there's a target on leaders. There's a target on dads. Dad in this room. There's a target on our Sunday school teachers. There's a target on our deacons. There's a target on a junior church leader. There's a target on our staff. I mean, everyone, there's a target on them. Satan, the enemy, has a target on leaders. Look, folks, nationally, there's a target on our president. It's always been that way. There's a target on parents. There's a target on teachers. There's a target on the pastor. You know, there's the attack on Brother Varnum, Satan's attack. And again, all that took place and everything, we understand God's in control of everything. But I mean, it was a tough thing. We lost some teenagers. Satan knows what he's doing. Well, why can't people just say, you know, Satan, they thought to do me mischief. Why can't we see through stuff? By the way, the reason we lose young people is because adults don't handle things like that well and understand that our leaders have targets on them. As soon as Brother Caleb said, "I'll be the youth director," as soon as a target was drawn on his back. Because Satan and the enemy knows if they can destroy the leader, it's going to affect the followers. It's going to affect the whole group. It's going to affect the cause. That's why we need to pray for our leaders. That's why, seriously, the poster of Brother Kelvin, we laugh about it, but I'm for it. I think it's a little high priced. I think Brother Kelvin ought to pay people to get the poster, but... You know, I honestly, if you knew how our staff is under attack all the time, if you just had any, if you could just come into our lives a little while, it would change the conversation about us around your dinner table. If you could understand how Satan attacks leaders, Sanballat, Tobiah, and understand. They see the wall. They've heard the rejoicing of the city. And immediately they plot and plan. We got to get to Nehemiah. We got to get to Nehemiah. We need to destroy Nehemiah. Wait till you hear some of the rest of this chapter. They are relentless. They are intense. In attacking the leader. Because when you destroy the leader, you hurt the cause. I'm going to say something's going to make some of you mad. But that's all right. It needs to be said. In the late 80s, the enemy attacked Brother Jack Hiles. And people, I'm telling you, it's absolutely amazing. People get bent out of shape because you cheer for a man. We shouldn't cheer for men. And then you clap for Barry Sanders. Just sit still. I got a few more things to say. But here's the thing. It's not the man. It's the cause. That was the whole point. The cause. Well, we're going to believe this thing because we don't like him because people cheer for him. We don't agree with that. You cheer for Chauncey Billups. You cheer for whatever baseball player you like. Good night, you cheer for our high school players. Well, actually, we don't cheer a lot there. Now, I'm just saying, it's the cause. It's not the man. It's the cause. It's not Jack Hiles or Tom Malone or Lee Robertson. It's the cause that they stand for. It's the cause that they led us to. It's the cause that they stood up and they were willing to pay the price to stand up and say, this is what we are. You can follow if you want. And we did. We got buses. And we went soul winning. And we changed our standards. And we changed our preaching. And we preached the old-fashioned hellfire and damnation. But boy, as soon as we got an opportunity to hear a little dirt on them, then we joined with the enemy and shot at him. A leader of what we believe. And the thing is, when you turn on these leaders, and like Brother Hiles, for example, you turned on someone who believed the same way you did. The cause. And you know what it does? It makes us all feel real good about everything those leaders preached about. Now we can go ahead and do those things. Look what they did. Look what so-and-so said they did. Look what so-and-so said that such-and-such said that the dude wrote about. Must be true. But the truth of the matter is, we just wanted to go back to our dead, boring, lifeless religion. And what do? We attack the leader. The enemy knows what he's doing. And he knows our weaknesses in that too. Yeah, that's true. And about that time, people quit going soul winning. Hello? Women put on their britches. It's okay. I know what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Started listening to new evangelicals. Started wanting to be like them. That's right. And it's not because of a man. You know, quit. Look, if all you can do is follow a man, then you're never going to get anywhere. You need to get the cause of what the Bible says and stick with that. You know, people are shooting at Tom Williams. He's a good friend of mine. And I've watched it over the years. And every person who shoots at him, they're shooting at the cause of prayer and walking with God. And I don't know how many people will quit praying and walking with God because they think Dr. Tom Williams is a wicked, vile heathen. Now again, I'm not excusing them for their own. I'm just saying, don't shoot at the leaders. Don't join the enemy and shoot at the leaders. There are so many leaders in what I believe in. I don't agree with them on everything. They don't agree with me on everything. But I'm not going to hurt them. And we shouldn't hurt them. It's the same cause. It's the same cause. And you see, the enemy perceives if they get the leader. That's why I wish people would pray for me, honestly. I mean that with all my heart. I cannot be more sincere than I am right now. Before you pick up a phone and call somebody and tell them about me, tell Jesus about me. I mean that with all my heart. Before you get in a little corner in the church and make sure I'm not coming, you know, and talk about me, get on your knees before God and say, God, he's a dummy. Tell God about it. It's all right with me. Brother Chase is excited about that. He practices it faithfully. Oh, we need your prayers so desperately. I think of our staff. I think of these teachers, the hours they put in, the time they put in, and there's not one of them that's perfect. They never will be perfect, just like you're not perfect. And your little Poindexter's not perfect either. Not even close. To have you roll your eyes at them in front of your teenager, to have you say something bad about one of our staff in front of your teenager, in front of other teenagers, God help your soul. God pity your soul. They already have a target on them. Satan's fighting. And you're supposed to be on their side. But see, the enemy perceives. If I can get to the leader, If I can knock down that leader a notch or two, yeah. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. We ought to cheer God's people. We ought to cheer God's people. It's tough. The battle is tough. Some of the stands that have been taken for God's people. Hey, you know what? The signers of the United States of America Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the signers of those things, the prices they paid. I'll tell you what, when I see them, I'm going to cheer for them. Lost everything they had, lost their lives, lost their families. I'll cheer for them. I'll cheer for somebody that'll take a stand. I'll cheer for somebody that'll give their blood so that I can be free. I'll cheer for a soldier. I'll cheer for the military. I'll cheer for people that are heroes. I'll cheer for somebody that'll dare to say, hey, draw the target on me. Shoot at me if you will. I'll cheer for them. I will. Especially if they have the same cause. We're going to have to decide who we're going to cheer for nowadays. You know what? We really are. The enemy perceived if they get the leader. And it's always been that way. It always will be that way. Number three, what the enemy said. And here's what they said. Verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono.
Oh, no.
And that's what you need to say anytime the enemy's trying to get you to join them for anything. Let us meet together. See, they can't sneak attack now because the walls are built. Unless they can sneak at the door. How dare they come to the door? How dare they actually come to the door? But they're not giving up. They're relentless. The Bible says the devil comes as an angel of light. The Bible talks about wolves in sheep's clothing. That's the only way they're going to get to the door. Do you understand? There are archers on the towers facing the door. And there's guards all around that gate, I promise you. And the only way they're going to get there, they're going to hold up their white flag. Nehemiah, Nehemiah, we're your buddies. Want to go shoot a round of golf? At the Ono Country Club? You know, I can hear it right now. I can just hear CNN. Dun, 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 dun. That sounds like Bible school, doesn't it? Good news, folks. Sanballat and Geshem have attempted to meet with Nehemiah. All eyes are now on Nehemiah, that independent fundamental nut Baptist. Wonder what he'll do. They're extending the right hand of Christian fellowship, all in the name of world peace. Now all of a sudden, whose fault is it? Now all of a sudden, who's the bad guy? Now all of a sudden, who's the one everybody's looking at? Nehemiah. Huh? Oh, but we're all supposed to get along and you know. Yeah, I can hear CNN. What is Nehemiah's problem? What is he doing? I can hear your Christian rock group asking the same thing. What is wrong with your pastor? What is wrong with your pastor? What is wrong with your... You don't have a drum set. What is wrong with you people? Where's your dance team? What is wrong with you people? I can hear it. I can hear every new evangelical church and with the ecumenical garbage that they spew out. Huh? Where they say, hey, we can all just get along. We don't have to agree on doctrine. And yet my Bible says that's all we agree on. That's what we have in common is doctrine. Amen. Oh, what gall for them to come right to the door. Those wolves saying, bah, 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 waving their white flag. Nehemiah, Nehemiah, we baked you some cookies. Nehemiah, we baked you a cake. Hey, Nehemiah, we want to meet with you. Nehemiah, come on out, buddy. We want to be your friend. And all the newspapers say, wonder why he won't go. But see, Nehemiah said, they thought to do me mischief. Nobody would fall for them coming to the door, would they? Nehemiah didn't, by the way. You know why? Because he knew who the enemy was. Nehemiah didn't fall for it. Nobody would they? But we do all the time, don't we? Yes, we do. I mean, Bathsheba was bathing out in the open, and David fell for it. Right? Hello? David knew she didn't have any clothes on, and he looked, and he kept looking till he brought her over to himself. Well, that's just like what you have in your living room on your television. That's like what we have on our computers, right? Right out in the open. I'm not talking about sneaking around the wall. I'm talking about right at your door. Right literally in our face. And we're falling for it. Hey, why are people so unclothed in public? Is it because it's so hot? It's right in our face. See, the enemy wants to deceive us so we forget they're the enemy. And we enough garbage in our minds, and we kind of do forget who the enemy is. Enough stuff that we listen to, influence from the media, and all, we sort of forget that Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah, they're the bad guys. We sort of forget about that. Why, some of you're probably already kind of thinking about voting for, because he's waving a white flag and, hey, come on, I'm going to help you. Money in your wallet. I'm going to help you. We're so foolish. And the enemy comes right to the front door, disguised. You know, really, if you just would consider the rock lyrics and the country and western lyrics, just the words, the rap lyrics, and we have that stuff playing in our homes. Right here, people here. And they came right through your door. And the sex and immorality playing on a television set and being read right in the front door. You see, Nehemiah... how did Nehemiah know it was the enemy? Because how did he know they thought to do him mischief? Because they're the bad guys. That's what they're supposed to do. Okay, there was a day years ago, remember the old westerns? And when the gun shot, the guy went like that, and about a minute later it went bang! Remember those? I mean, it was awesome. I mean, those were the good old days. And the guy got shot, and he fell over, and then after that, when he landed, about 2 minutes later, it went thud. You know, those were good. But always, the good guy wore a white hat, and the bad guy wore a black hat. Now, when the black hat guy came in, you knew that's the bad guy. You just knew about it because that's the enemy. Enemies aren't supposed to be your buddies. Vacation Bible School. I mean, honestly, the music plays and the guy comes in and everybody knows he's the devil. And they don't expect the devil to do good things. They don't expect the devil to be our buddy. He's the bad guy. And we see it. And we do that on purpose. We want little children to know, it's the devil! And some of you, honestly, I really believe this. Your children, many times while you're watching things, they sit up and they say, ah, it's the devil! Shh, shh, I want to hear this. It's true. Probably won't be any posters of me sold after tonight. Maybe if we offer a discount. I'm just saying, you know, Nehemiah, how do you know they think to do you mischief? Because they're the bad guys. You know, World War II, if you're fighting in the trenches and all of a sudden you see a German, he's got his bayonet out, don't think that he's wanting to cut up some food to serve you. You don't expect that sort of thing to happen. How did Nehemiah know? Are you kidding? They were the enemy. And Satan is the enemy too. And he is out to destroy us. And it's not a joke. It's as real as it can be. The occult is bombarding us with New Age and all the things involved in that. Listen, anything that causes us to do less for God. Some of you used to take a great stand for the Lord, and anymore it is so wimpy. It's like my cookies and milk just before it breaks off and floats down to the bottom. Milksop. And you look at the pastor, what is he? What is wrong? You know, you want a Barney Baptist. You can call it a Barney Baptist or a Burger King Baptist. You know, have it your way. It's not like that. I know the biggies. You know, some of these big, giant, mega churches, they're just having a time. They got one group to have a little rap concert. They got another one. The reverend sits down on a stool. No pulpit, that's offensive. And the reverend sits on a stool and has a microphone, and they just talk. About anything. You know, one guy will read his version. Another person will read their version. Somebody else will get their own idea, which is the same as another version. Yeah. What did the enemy say? Well, the enemy said, Nehemiah, come join us. We want to take you out to eat, buddy. Last thing, number four, what the enemy wanted. It's very simple. Nehemiah said it in verse 2. They thought to do me mischief. They thought to do me mischief. They thought to do me harm. They thought to hurt me and hurt the cause. That was their purpose. Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah, you're still there. Was miles away. And if they could get Nehemiah out of the picture there, they could do anything they wanted to him. See, here's the thing, and I'm going to close with this. The enemy wanted the wall. They could not destroy the wall. They couldn't stop the wall, so they decided we'll take over the wall. They wanted the city. Please get this. Do not miss this. Liberals don't build anything. They never have built anything. They take over. I wish you'd get that. Look, and by the way, this goes right along with our national political picture. America is great because our God has blessed America. God has blessed, and the rest of the world watches and they say, how can that be? And if we would just keep telling them the good news, it's God that did it. It's God that's blessed us. It's God who's put His hand upon America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If the world would just get that. But we've quit saying that. And America's great because of Christianity. But now, what are we seeing happen? Well, the liberals couldn't build America. By the way, liberals don't build churches. They don't start churches. You don't ever hear of a liberal guy say, hey, look, I believe in nothing. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the virgin birth. But I'm starting a church. Won't you come? Never. They don't build anything. They don't start anything. They simply take over. And that's still true. I close with this thought. You ever thought about it? Satan can't produce a life. You know, man is trying to create life. Man can't do it. God breathed into the nostrils of a man, and man became a living soul. Satan can't produce a life. He can't make a life. It's impossible. Maybe Satan and all his demons have tried, but basically they've never been able to make a life. So what do? They just try to take over a life. Because they can't build one for themselves. So all they can do is take over. I'm telling you, the enemy wants to take over. Thank God, all these years, Berean Baptist Church has stood. Thank God, since the 40s, Berean Baptist Church has stood for, mainly for seeing people get saved. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for that. That's the way it needs to be. Satan absolutely hates it. And there are so many different attacks and different things that go on. The enemy wants to stop it and do everything he can to stop it. Hey, you know what? When you got saved, God created a saved life. You know, there's not a thing the devil can do about it. He can't create. All he can do is do everything he can to stop you. That's all he can do. All he can do is do everything he can to keep lost people lost. By the way, one of the things he does, he certainly goes after the lost people to keep them lost, but he also goes after Berean Baptist Church to keep us from doing what we're supposed to do. And you know, folks, honestly, thank God there's a lot of good news coming out of here. Thank God for that. But you know, with all the good news, Satan just sharpens his sword. And he plans his next attack. And, we need to stand. And we need to do what's right and just keep doing what's right. And you need to in your life. These teens stood up here, and as they stood, and as each one either passed them, maybe they never said a word, but they stood up here. And some spoke. And in my mind, I saw targets getting written on them. I saw the targets being drawn. And Satan will take aim at them. And you know, we have got to do all that we can to make sure that we recognize they thought to do us mischief. And the enemy is never going to be on our side. Anything that is going to try to slow us down, slow down your Christian growth, keep you from keeping the decision that you made at the conference or at another conference or here at this altar, we need to say, that's the enemy. They're trying to do me mischief. And I am going to go on for Jesus.